Starting the board meeting at 19:04, 7:04 p.m. First thing on the agenda is old business to approve the 2024-327, so March 27th, 2024, Board of Director Minutes. Paul, did you get a copy of those?
Yes, and I read them.
And you read them. Do you have any problems with them?
No, I don't.
I don't either. I'll make a motion that we approve those minutes. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Paul seconds. I will poll the board. Paul, how do you vote?
Yes.
I vote yes as well. Motion carries. The board minutes are approved. Second item agenda is 2023 audit is complete. That's complete and done. There were no surprises. And I don't know if it's on BPHOA, but it will be soon. Masonry wall update. This is a follow-up from last board meeting. I still don't know what to do about this. Do you?
I don't know that there's anything we can do, honestly.
I don't think so either. Joe, do you have any ideas?
I don't.
I don't either. I'm going to say that there's nothing we can do.
If we do anything for these few houses, then we're on the hook for that whole stretch of wall. And we just, there's no way the HOA can support that.
Right. I agree. So I there's nothing we can do. The homeowners are going to have to repair their own section of that wall, unfortunately.
Why do you all feel that we'd have to be on the hook for the whole wall?
Well, not the whole wall, but your section of it, if you live there. The wall, it's from Bradford Park Drive to Donnell Drive, is leaning towards High Country, and part of it has started to fall apart. I've talked to the city. They don't own the wall. The homeowners do. We don't own the wall. The HOA does not own the wall. The homeowners do. And that area that the wall is adjacent to is a common area owned by the city of Round Rock. So we've looked into what it would cost to replace the entire wall from Bradford Park all the way to Donnell Drive. And replace it or take it down, remove the footer, and then replace it would be $81,500. First of all, it's not in our budget for this year, but also it only affects six homeowners. It doesn't affect the entire subdivision. So
it represents the whole subdivision. I understand what you all are saying in terms of property lines, but we are a community. We are not our individual lots.
We are both. Someone over on Andres Way may have an issue financing or paying for a wall over on Elizabeth Ann.
So I guess the question is, if it's a repair and they may have a problem with it, is that not something you put up to vote? Because this is their money. And my property doesn't back that area, but mm-hmm. it represents all of our homes and everybody driving in. It hurts all of our property values.
Yeah, you also have to understand, Michelle, is there's not also a section of wall on the other side of Bradford Park Drive that goes up. And again, you set a precedent by fixing this one section. And if the other section collapses, you know, what do we do then? There's no money left.
The precedent is we see a need, we have a vote, and we go according to vote. The precedent isn't, we do whatever you need whenever you need it. It's if there's something there, we see what the people want. We don't just have a couple of people say absolutely not because it's a lot of money. Like, can we just vote on it?
Texas law requires us, I'm pretty sure, I'd have to look into it, but I'm pretty sure for a project that big, we'd have to at least get two more bids, which is probably not a bad idea anyway. But one bid we did get, we were told, is actually pretty cheap. So it would, the bids we would probably get would probably be more. As far as voting for it, we can put that to the vote of everyone. If you want to set up a special meeting and ask if we replace that wall, we can.
But that wasn't even for the entire wall, was it? It was just for that section that was collapsing.
Correct.
Right. I mean, I don't see a reason why we would need to fix something that isn't broken. So why replace the whole thing?
Well, when I got the guy out there to look at the wall, the entire wall is leaning all the way from Bradford Park Drive to Donnell. The whole thing is leaning. Eventually, it's going to fall over. The entire thing is going to fall. And I talked to Paul, and Paul in previous board meetings, because we've been talking about this for a while. And we're like, what do we do about this? And we're both like, the money's not really there to fix it outright. If you fix part of it now and part of it later, you don't know that you can get the same materials. And, you know, again, it affects six homeowners. So someone over in the other side of the subdivision may not be you know, in favor of that. And that's why I went and doing more digging to finding out. And I even asked the city if they would help us out with it. They told me no. So, I mean, if you want me to set up a special meeting to vote on that one thing, we can. And you can go and see if you can get people to say yes to that agenda. The thing of it is if we do, we may also have to increase our dues, because we've got how much in the total in our coffers right now.
Let me take a look.
What is the quote that you got was for what type of material is the new wall going to be made of?
It was the same thing that it is now. I think it's cinder block.
Okay. And I guess that's the concern too, because if you go further down Bradford Park, that portion that's closest to Donnell, it's right. Fencecrete, which is the new cheaper way to do it, where you put a post and then you slide some panels down it, and requires basically Joe Schmo to do it. Okay. I'm just wondering, you know, is there a way to make our neighborhood, everybody's neighborhood, look better at a lesser cost and be safer? Because I don't, you know, the thing that we see is every time we're walking by is that could just as easily fall on somebody's dog or cat or kid.
Right. Where do you live, Michelle?
I live Elizabeth Ann. So we just walk to the, you know, we walk across High Country pretty regularly.
Okay. So you're at like 3212?
Yeah, so the opposite side of that street.
Okay, I know where you're at. So,
I mean, it's probably the worst part of the wall.
So it's like we've been talking about this for, well, since what, November of last year?
Yeah, I think I sent pictures like a year and a half ago.
You did. But I mean, we've actually been talking about this since like October of last year. I've got pictures also about the crumbling part of the wall. But yeah, we could set up a special meeting and see what people want to do. But again, it may require that we have either a special assessment or you know, raise the dues, because it's not going to be a cheap project.
Well, how much money is there?
That's what Joe's checking on now.
Okay.
$138,000, and the bid we got was for $81,500.
But that's for full replacement, right?
That's for taking it down and replacing it. And again, that was in October. It may have gone up a little bit because of inflation. I mean, things keep going up and up and up. So for what it's worth, it's not a cheap project. That's again, if you want me to call a special meeting for that, we can.
So it is possible. It's just not outside of the bylaws or anything like that.
Mm-mm, no. And again, we may end up having to, now if we do this and we say, okay, it's going to be a special assessment for everyone so instead of using the money that we have currently, because it's not currently in our budget, if we say, okay, we want to do a special assessment for this wall from Bradford Park all the way to Donnell, and it's going to cost everyone, say, $250 more, you know, do they want to pay it or not?
How many people do we have on our group?
How many homes are in the subdivision?
Yeah.
278. And approximately 75 are renters.
Is that up to date?
Yeah, but the owners.
Renters.
But the owners would be responsible. It was up to date as of, I think, October of last year. I haven't updated it since, but that was what the number I got back then.
Do we have any insurance that could cover any of the costs?
I don't think so, not for that. Again, the HOA doesn't own it. It's owned by the each individual property owner.
It's like a year or two ago, our fence got blown over and we actually got part of it taken care of by the insurance to rebuild a new one when when some of the high winds blew over lots of stuff.
Right.
But that's on your property, and that's the issue.
Yeah, but if it's in back of, some property owners, they may have, to contact their insurance. But I think that's something that would improve the property value. And, if it's a one-time assessment, we could figure out what it should be and vote on it, maybe.
Of course, the other issue you have to understand is that who bears the burden? I mean, if we put a special assessment, we have, I don't know how many, you said 75 people are renters, plus the people that currently aren't even paying their regular dues.
Correct.
So it's more of a burden on the other homeowners to pick up the slack for people who aren't meeting their obligations.
And we're working on those. It's a process you have to go through, but we're working on those.
Yeah, I think it'd be nice to possibly get some estimates on different materials to see if we can bring that cost down and see what the neighborhood thinks, because I do believe that, yes, it backs up on just a few people's lots, but it impacts the entire neighborhood. Like when people turn down High Country, that's what they see, and it represents our whole community, our neighborhood. Okay.
Would you like to head that up?
I mean, do we have permission to seek estimates on behalf of the HOA? If that's the case, then yeah, I don't mind making some calls.
Yeah, you can. That's not a problem.
Okay.
I appreciate that, Michelle. Yeah, we don't have to do everything. We really do like help. So Michelle's going to get some bids for this, right, for the masonry wall, and we'll go from there. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Michelle, our next board meeting is July 31st. All right. Does anyone have any other comments about the masonry wall? No comments. Okay, well, moving on, the update on the right-of-way mowing area in High Country. And we've gotten some comments about this. The city of Round Rock actually owns that area that we were just talking about, the grassy area from the wall to the curb. Okay. And it goes from Donnell Drive to past Andres Way. So that's all owned by the city of Round Rock. Previous boards didn't know that it wasn't owned by the HOA. They thought it was owned by the HOA, and they put plants and stuff in there. And so I've been trying to get the city of Round Rock to take care of their own area. And they told me recently, I think it was last month, that the trees are fine, but they wanted all the bushes, all the flowers, all the anything that was not a tree removed from the property. Anything that needed picked up on the property. And then once that was done, we let them know and they would start taking care of that area. So I asked Paul if he'd be okay with that, because we got an estimate of what, $3,500 for that?
Yeah.
And Paul said yes. I said yes. We voted on it. And so that's what's happened, is that area is, again, owned by the city of Round Rock. and we remove the stuff that we put on there in error. And so it's going back to the city of Round Rock. They're going to start taking care of that instead of us, which in the long run will save us money because we won't need a landscaper to take care of that area. So that's what's going on there. And it should be within a short period of time, like a couple of weeks, that I can tell the city of Round Rock, we've done what you've asked. When can you take over? And then I can let the landscaper know the date that they're going to take over. And I'll also have it published on in the newsletter. So that's the update on the right-of-way mowing area on High Country. New business, and this is more informational than not. Neighborhood news has been is slow, and it's been slow since Ariel Dew's passing. She was the lady that she was my contact at Neighborhood News, that she suddenly died of an aneurysm. It was published not in this newsletter but the previous one, and so I get the newsletter information. For instance, like the current one, I got the newsletter information to Amy, that's the new lady I'm talking with, on the 1st of May. And so usually by the 15th, it was published, 15th, maybe the 20th. I didn't get a proof until well after the 20th. And then it's been published. So I've asked her for a digital copy to put on the site. The next time I am due to put in newsletter articles, it'll be, let's see, May, June, July 1st. So if you have anything you want published, let me know. And with that, we're at homeowner concerns. And Alan, I know you had something, so I want you to tell us what's going on.
Yeah. What I've noticed on Vincent Court, that it looks like there are cars that are blocking driveways, sidewalk. Uh-huh. And also there's just no place to park because we had some roof work being done and there was no place for the company to come and even get close to the house. They basically, we had to put out cones to not park. And I've taken some pictures. So, and I know Joe has responded. There's even one car, a Cadillac, for years that has been just sitting there. It doesn't move. And I really don't know how many people are living in the one house because they have eight cars, not four, which I think is the homeowner ruling is, you know, you can have four, but they actually have eight cars, one that doesn't run. So anyway, I know that Joe, you've addressed it, and I don't know if there's any response or, and then there's a party next to them. I think it's 2710 and 278, or is the two addresses. Ours is 2709, Vincent Court. But anyway, have you heard anything from, because I know you sent out letters, both blocking and the Cadillac that's there for years. In fact, you can go to Google Maps and it's there 2-3 years ago. So anyway, that's my input.
So that, go ahead.
And that Cadillac hasn't moved?
I don't think so. I was out there 2 weeks ago. I guess it was not.
Okay, Joe, go ahead.
So
I think Joe wrote a letter. You wrote a letter to them. I guess there was a letter that was written to him. That was the first, you've had two different occasions that I just happened to take pictures. But anyway, just, I just says, is this the street that's only having problems? There must be other, you know, problems, you know, on your street. Do you see problems like that or no?
On mine?
Yeah.
I don't see it. No. But Andres Way is kind of like a in the shape of a J.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's really not a lot. I mean, there's a lot of street there for someone to park on. The problem with Vincent Court and Adlin Lane is they're just kind of cut through streets. And right. That's all you have is just that cut through. Now, you said you thought that there was a limit on the number of cars per house. I don't think there is.
Yeah, I think, Joe, did you see the letter that I quoted, what I read on the homeowners? It kind of says 4 vehicles.
Usually that's the number because that's how many driveway can hold.
Right.
So
if you do have four, and I think if the homeowner who has, you know, and they're trying to abide by, let's not block the sidewalk, they're just going to be parking all over on the street, taking up more of the space. But anyway, it's at least it's an issue on Vincent Court. I can tell
right.
you that anytime I'm out in the area, it is no parking anywhere.
So we send violations every 2 weeks. So based on your email, they're on the radar. I think, Keith, I remember working on that Cadillac, 6 months or a year ago.
Okay.
I'm surprised it's still there. But anyway, that's how we do it, Alan. And
yeah, and I think you're doing
sending the violations.
I know that, you know, it's touchy ground, and it's just, you know, my input is an issue that maybe we can address because, there is some restrictions on how many people live in a place. I think it is, you know, you can take a look. If you want, I can find the section number.
Has to be a single family.
Correct. Yeah.
So we'll keep.
It has to be a single family. I don't think it includes brothers and sisters or extended family like that, but it's possible. And again, I don't know the people who live there, but it's possible that someone has like 8 kids and 4 of them have, you know, 3 or 6 of them have cars.
Well, these kids all drive cars.
So. Yeah.
All right. Well, keep me posted, Alan. The most effective thing is send me an update every couple weeks.
Yeah. I know. And it just, you know, it's the idea that if you just go down there, when it's really crowded and cars are parked on both sides and the sidewalks block, literally one car can only get through.
Right.
And when I was there, I hardly could go into a driveway and back up, and I have a Trailblazer, and I said if a fire truck would be coming down, you know, there would be issues because they would block the whole deal. So anyway,
well, are they near?
If you ever go by there, just see, it's, you know, it's not during the daytime because these kids or whoever it is work, and it usually is okay, but then 5 o'clock and on, they all come back and they all park somewhere on the street or in the driveway.
Right.
I have to. It's something to keep in touch, and I know that it's touchy business, and I'll keep you guys posted. But anyway, I know you're doing the best you can, and we'll just see how we can deal with it.
Well, again, I usually try to be very responsive to a homeowner who has a complaint, and I'm going to have to look and see where you saw there were a limit of 4 vehicles per home. I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, I'll go through again because I had a look at it before I opened my mouth. And I think I copied part of it, or I said whatever it is to Joe. I think then Joe copied you. And then from then on, I copied both of you. But anyway,
okay.
I'll send both of you the excerpt of what I found. So at least I can, you know, show you what I'm thinking. I could be wrong, but anyway, I think there's a limitation on the number of cars and the number of people living in a residence.
All right. And the cars can't block the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And the cars have to run.
I didn't know about the car has to run, but
yeah.
I think that car also has a flat tire.
So that's a violation right there.
There's a no-op vehicle, and it's been sitting in the same spot for years. I think we need to start the process to either get it towed or something. So let's focus on that too.
Keep the
emails coming. I'm not familiar with as much on you know, the cars are not movable. But anyway, I'll look again to find out the section, and I'll send it to both of you so you can look at it, interpret it, and go from there.
And the most helpful thing is the address and then a picture of the violation. Like a picture of the flat tire or a picture of the cars blocking the sidewalk. And then I use those pictures in the violation. Then when we send enough violations, then we're able to take some other action.
It's ironic that you can see the Cadillac 2 years ago in the same spot. So
I remember the Cadillac.
Okay, well, anyway, that's my feedback, and I'll keep you guys posted. And I'll send you the relevant section on the homeowner deal. So we'll go from
there.
Okay, thank you.
So, Michelle, do you have any concerns?
Nope, just wanted to ask about the wall since we saw you had the work going on saw the stuff in the newsletter.
Right. Okay. Well, I have two things real quick. We had a homeowner complain about her neighbor using their backyard as a garbage dump, we've sent them a letter before. So Joe, can you send them another letter or at least start the process to where
I started it
to square that away?
Yeah, I started that process. And
what was the second one? The second one was similar. Oh, it was 2961 in their trailer.
Yes.
Yeah, we need to crack down on trailers throughout the subdivision. So can you tell, I think his name's Jay?
Let me look.
The guy that goes through and does the...
Yeah, so I sent the violation after I got your email, and then we'll wait 2 weeks and then send another violation, and then if he doesn't take action, then we'll come up with another step to take.
Okay. Yeah. Again, we don't want to look like we're picking on anyone, but again, we need to make sure we're trying to get results done. So the guy who comes through and drives through twice a month, is his name Jay?
I believe it's Jay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Can you tell him if he sees a trailer in a driveway or on the street to take a picture of it, and that's a violation?
Okay, I'll do it.
What day or time do they do it? Do you know?
Mondays.
At about what time? Do you know?
I'm not sure what time.
Because if they would go through, as I said, the parking is pretty good on weekdays. You know, between 8 and say 4, and then, you know, early morning hours or late evening, then people have to park. But so they may not see all the things that I had complained on if they're doing it during the daytime.
Yeah, it's during working hours.
Yeah.
Okay, has anyone else got a concern? Paul, do you have anything?
No.
I don't think I have anything other than, and I've already told Joe about it over here at 2604. They've got a moving container in their driveway, and that's got to go. It's been sitting there for over a month. I don't have anything else. We do have a couple things to talk about quickly, and I do mean quickly, in executive session. So if no one has anything else, then we're going to go into executive session. Alan, Michelle, thank you for coming. But we're going into executive session, so you all have to bounce.
Okay. Well, you have a good evening.
Yep, you too.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
All right. It looks like we just have the board.
All right. Let me stop recording.